Jesus, I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. And adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. I worship just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want
study this coming Wednesday, June 10th, 2026. June announcements, June 7th, today is Communion Sunday. June 8th through 11th, Baptist General State Convention Annual Session. June 13th, Men's Christian Growth Fellowship at 10:15 a.m. June 15th through 19th, UMBC Vacation Bible School. Yeah. Starts at 5:30 to 7:30 nightly. There are classes for all ages. June 21st, Father's Day. June 22nd through the 26th is the National Baptist Convention Congress of Christian Education. Our birthday announcements for the month of June. We ready? We would like to say happy birthday to the following who are celebrating a birthday in the month of June. Latricia Chris. Deacon Herbert Hudson Jr. Jeremiah Kamara. Annette Marshall. Bertha Norris. Renee Thompson. And Deacon Clarence Wilson. May God continue to bless you always. Once again, Vacation Bible School. We're going to get hooked. You're invited to our VBS kickoff event Saturday, June 13th from noon to 2 p.m. at Union Missionary Baptist Church. If you have any questions, contact Cynthia Johnson, wherever she is. Oh, up there. Dual job she has. At 509 West Jackson. Prizes and giveaways. We have some cards to read. Just want to thank you and ask the Lord to shower you with his blessings. Most sincerely, Pat Johnson and family. My husband felt loved. He couldn't live his genuine love. He couldn't give his genuine love. He loved. We loved him. He loved us. Okay. Another card. During a time like this, we realize how much family and friends really mean to us. Your expression of sympathy will always be remembered. The family of Reverend Larry Dwayne Johnson. That is it for the announcements. This is to the Union Missionary Baptist family. Greetings from the Collins and Kenyon family. We would like to thank all who showered our family with cards, condolences, prayers, expressions of love, and participation of the memorial services for Cynthia Collins Kenyon. Whether you participated in person or through Zoom, we will never be able to show you the level of gratitude we have for your kindness and generosity. Truly, you have demonstrated the presence of Christ in your display of benevolence and Christian ministry, humbly submitted by the family of Sylvia Collins Kenyon. I'll now turn this over to the pulpit. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in today. Amen. Amen. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Amen. Amen. We come to worship and lift up the Savior, who is Jesus Christ, and we want to offer praise unto him and he alone. Amen. Amen. If you're able, if you will please stand for our scripture reading on today. Be able to find that on the screen. Matthew 22, 37 through 40, King James Version. If we may say it together, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the prophets. Let us say together, love God and love others. Amen. Let us recite the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. This time we're going to worship through song. We'll put you in the hands of our music ministry. Thank you. still works. But I come not for no form of fashion. Is that I pray that as we sing that, receive it and clap to it, that we allow the blood to work. And our lives reflect that the blood works in transformation and living for the Lord. Amen. It's one thing to come up here and sing and clap. Amen. Come on here and say thank you, Jesus. But our lives must reflect that the blood still works. Amen. 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 We have a task not to water down the word. We have to live for the Lord. Amen. Amen. And if we're living for the word, for the Lord, that is reflected in our lives, that the blood does really work. It's more than just clapping and singing. It's actually living it. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Somebody got to say it. Amen. Amen, amen. And I'll be that one. I have no problem with standing on the standard of God's word. Amen. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. It's offering time. It is offering time. If you can prepare your offering as a finance ministry cause. Your offering, your tithes, your offering, tithe is a tenth. Offering is anything above and beyond that. Luke chapter 6, verse 13 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall be given to your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you. Amen. If you please step, those who are able, if you please step. Face down, I'll follow the ushers. Walk toward me, turn toward the walls, and walk around. Amen. Amen. Those who desire to come down to the altar, you may do so if you want to come down to the altar on today. If you want to stay seated where you are, you're welcome to do that as well. Let us focus and meditate on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, on who He is, what He has done, and what He wants to do. Those who are able, will you please stand? If you desire to come down to the altar, you're welcome to do so. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my mother. It's not my father. It's not my sister. It's not my brother. It's me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Heavenly Father, we present ourselves to you right now, asking that your Holy Spirit come by this place, because Lord, we need you. As we look at yesterday, all that went on yesterday, you saw fit as you looked down upon us with your finger of love. You saw fit to keep breath in our lungs. Lord, you saw fit to keep sight in our eyes. Oh Lord, thank you for keeping listening in our ears. Lord, we could have stumbled. We could have stumbled, but those who did stumble, Lord, you was able to pick us up. And we say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy keeping us right now. Lord, we stand here broken. Lord, we stand here blemished, but cleanse us up. And Lord, I pray for authenticity right now. I pray, Lord, that we be the light that you called us to be. Lord, that we don't play with the word of God, that we stand firmly on the word of God, especially those who are leaders, Lord, that we stand upon what is righteousness and do it according to your will and your way. Because, Lord, we do have the answer. We do have the answer for what we are doing and what we've done. So, Lord, allow us not to just let anything go, but to stand on your word. Lord, if we have to stand by ourselves, we'll stand by ourselves. Lord, I follow you. Lord, I trust you, and I know what your word says. There is no left, there is no right. There is righteousness. And Lord, we stand right now. Lord, why do we pray that? Because we want our prayers to be answered. The Bible says the prayer of the righteous availeth much. So Lord, I pray for those who are making you their choice. Lord, I ask that you give them strength to yield to you. Realize, like the Bible in Luke 9, that it takes discipleship. Lord, we have to forsake all. Take away our pride, take away our focus, take away what we think. But if we're going to follow you, Lord, we're going to have to follow you. It takes total commitment and total sacrifice. So, sweet Holy Spirit, come here in this place. I pray for those who may be fearful, those who may be immature, those who need work. Build us up, Lord. Go with the families who are dealing with bereavement right now. Go with those in the hospital. Lord, we do pray for the White House. We pray for our governments. We ask that you just lead and guide, because we know that your will is being done. Stop by here, Lord. Stop by here on today. Come here in this place, Lord. Be in the singing. Be in praying. Breathe in. But Lord, let us not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Give us strength, build us up. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 before she leaves the sanctuary, Sister Jessie and Anthony, can you wave your hand? Amen, Sister Jessie. We want to acknowledge her. She has stated that she is moving. I believe this is her last Sunday, and she's moving to Peoria, so we want to offer her blessings and prayers as she is moving. Her and DC. Bible school event on Saturday at 12 noon. And reminder, there will be no Bible study this week. Amen? Amen. 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 We thank you for the opportunity to preach the Word of God. And I pray, because it is a choice, that we just don't play church, but we be the church. That we follow what God says. And do what the Word of God says and live it according to that. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. And I'll be looking at those first 10 or so verses. Verse 11 to be the key verse there of Acts 11. I mean, Acts chapter 12. Key verse will be 11. And we'll start at 1st through 10th verse. 1st through 10th verse. Acts chapter 12. Chapter 12. As we focus in, let us get our minds and hearts ready. As we say, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. Says it this way, Acts chapter 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarantines of soldiers, quartinions of soldiers, to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept prison. 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hand. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandal." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he was a vision. And he saw a vision. Verse 10, when they were past the first and the second wall, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. For with the angel departed from him. And verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and have delivered me out of the hands of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Today, thank you for your patience. I want to share is delivered by the Lord. Delivered by the Lord. May be seated in the presence of our God. I want to share today and say that God is able to deliver. God is able to bring us out of whatever mental situation we are, whatever sin we are in, whatever circumstance we're in. God is able to deliver us. Can I let you know that you have to have faith and trust in God? Acts 12:11 said, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of surety that the Lord has sent his angel and have delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And here we need to see that Peter's imprisonment and the church's prayers for this had power to move a deliverance from the Lord. In Acts chapter 12, it records a powerful night of prayer. In that prayer, there was persecution, but there was also a divine rescue. Peter had been imprisoned by Herod the king, guarded by soldiers, and surrounded by human impossibility. Yet, the Lord sent an angel, broke the chains, and opened the prison doors, and led Peter out of a very bad precarious situation. When Peter finally came to himself, he said what we are saying in verse 11, "Now I know of surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me." This verse on today is a testimony that God is not limited by boundaries. God is not limited by prison. God is not limited by politics. God is not limited by pressure. God is not limited by self agendas. God is able to deliver anything and anybody. It reminds us, believers, that the Lord still delivers his people in a perfect time and in a perfect way. Peter was there simply because the king wanted political power and fame, and he already executed others. Now Peter was on the chopping block.
But you know what God was able to do? He was able to deliver Peter out of that. Whatever you are in prison of right now, God is able and has the power to deliver you to. Somebody in here feel lonely? God can deliver. Somebody in here feel confused? God can deliver. If you trapped up in a lifestyle of sin, God can deliver you from your sin. If you are trapped up in your own personal agenda, doing it your own way, God can deliver you from that too. And here in this text, Herod's power and his human helplessness and divine intervention, we see here that God has a way of working things out. Can you say that with me? God has a way of working things out. Somebody needs to hear this. God has a way of working things out. Yeah. Because somebody right now, including myself, is scratching their head and saying, God, I know there needs to be something worked here. I know there needs to be a change. I know there needs to be this and that. But God, I know that I trust you and your timing, and you will do it your way. But you have a way. God, you have a way of delivering and changing things in your way. I got it. Yes, we have to trust God's timing. We have to trust God's way. It's not easy, but God has a way. God has a way. In the midst of this, Peter's story lets us know that God has a way of delivering, and he does deliver. You look at man's chains versus God's deliverance. Man's chains can't hold God's plan down. Our personal plans, our personal agendas can't hold God's plans down. I remember the Psalm 34:7. It said, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Those who have reverence for God, God delivers them. Oh, you need to hear that today. Do you trust God? Do you have reverence for God? Oh, I'm about to get trouble about it. Are you actually living for God? God, when you fear him and give him reverence, then he delivers. God delivers those who fear and give him reverence. Acts 5:19 said, but during the night of the angel, the Lord opened the doors of jail and brought them out. That's NIV. God is able to deliver. God is able to deliver his people according to his will and his way, as we look at this verse. Psalm 91:11 says, for he will command his angels concerning you, what? To guard you in all your ways. How many know that God has angels? How do we know that? Because the Bible says that God has angels. And here we see that God instructs and has the angels work on behalf for deliverance. God is able to deliver. When the Lord delivers, the believers must come to themselves and recognize it. James chapter 1 verse 17 say, every good and perfect gift come from what? From God. Come from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. So as I read this text, as I look at this, my first point as I look at this verse, I'm going to read it again, King James Version. And we know that Peter is at the end of being delivered out of the jail. Because there was a soldier on the east side, he was in chains. God got rid of the chains, got rid of the soldiers, and God had him standing up and walking out of that which had him chained and locked down, and he's in the midst of it. And Peter says, when he comes to himself, now I know assuredly that the Lord has sent his angel and have delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. The Lord is the source of true deliverance. That's my first point. The Lord is the source of true deliverance. It's not a self-help group. It's not a pamphlet you find in the store. It's not something that you order online. It's not even coming to church. It's the Lord that delivers. You can be delivered while you fishing on a bank. You can be delivered while you driving your car. You can be delivered at home. You can be delivered while you shaking what you shake at the nightclub. You can be delivered. What I'm trying to say is you can be delivered anywhere. Why can you be delivered anywhere? True deliverance, because God is everywhere. Yeah, the deliverance does not just take place at church. The deliverance could take place anywhere. How do I know it could take anywhere? Because I already stated God is everywhere, but you able to call on God anywhere. I'm trying to get them right, so I'm going to get them to church. Or I'm trying to get them right. I won't give them the Bible study. Yeah, those are good things, but that's not the deliverance. The deliverance happens when that person who needs God says, God, I need you. I am a sinner. I need you to come into my heart and change me. That's true deliverance. That's true transformation. Yeah, that's like tell people somebody other than the Lord can deliver them, or a certain place, or I want to keep you close to me, all that. That like me saying, I'm dying of thirst, and I jump in the pool full of fresh water. And I jump in, I swim, and get out. I'm still going to die of thirst because I didn't drink. Water was all around me. I done swam in the pool, even did a couple cannonballs. Got on out of that. But I'm still going to die of thirst because I didn't drink one drop. I was in the pool. I was in a place where the water was, but I did not consume it and allow it to change and impact my life. Isn't that a shame if we don't take advantage of the true deliverance of the Lord? Look at this text. The Lord sent his angel. Peter names his God as the ultimate actor and person who stood on his behalf. Not luck, not skill, not chance. Oh, I'm in the right place at the right time. Peter says, God is the one who did this. Didn't he say that? And Peter, when he comes to himself, he said, now I know assuredly that the Lord has sent. Gave all credit. Gave all honor to God. Peter names God as the person. Not a situation, not a circumstance, but name God. Do you know who is your deliverer? Then act like it. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. So where is your help, God? Who is your refuge, God? Who is your source, God? And God leads you to Jesus. That who saves you, that's who keeps you. Anybody had a midnight hour? Anybody had some troubling times? I've had to take some medicine, but I had to take the medicine again after it ran out. But once I gave my life to the Lord, he delivered me. And he's delivered me. And he's delivered me. I never had to go back. Because when you give your life to the Lord, he changes you. And he delivers you. Just a little dab a do. Why? Because Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. That's where the deliverance comes from. And first, before we do, we need to be delivered. The angel is God's messenger here, sent under the divine authority of God. As you look at this again in verse 8, he said, now I know assuredly that the Lord has sent his angel. Who's the angel? The messenger of God. And God had delivered me out of the hands of Herod. Who was that? Herod, the oppressor. And God's deliverance comes at the right time. Who's the source? God is the source. Did God use somebody? He used the angel. He used the angel to deliver Peter out of the jail. And who is the ultimate source? God is the refuge and the strength. And God's deliverance comes at just the right time. Peter was asleep in chains, verse 6 through 7. He was asleep in chains, proving that God's power is not limited by our circumstances. Whatever circumstance we're in, no matter what situation we're in, no matter what chains we have, God can break those chains. The timing showed that the Lord works when man cannot. Peter was locked in jail. He was chained up in jail. Couldn't move and had a soldier on each side. But God could move beyond those chains and move beyond those soldiers. Can I remind somebody of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Yeah, they said, we're not going to bow down to your God, even if it cost us our life. And the king put him in there, not Herod, but Nebuchadnezzar put him on in there in that fiery furnace. And it was three, but the Son of God, Son of Man, showed up there in the midst of the fiery furnace. And the Bible clearly records that they was able to walk out as if they was never in the furnace. Where does the deliverance come? Daniel 3, the deliverance came from God intervening. Where did deliverance come? From God working on behalf. In our text, where did deliverance for Peter come from? God intervening and sending his angel. I get it. When God intervenes in our lives and we're open to God intervening in our lives, then that's where the change and deliverance comes. If you want change, you want healing, you want help, it has to come from God and nowhere else. You can feed somebody, but they're going to have to eat again. You can give somebody a glass of water, but they're going to have to drink water again. But I know a flowing fountain. I know a well that never runs dry. His name is Jesus. So what I have to do, I have to trust God's hand. When doors are shut and prayers seem delayed, when it seems like there's nowhere to go, I have to trust God to come in and make the deliverance. Yeah, that's it right there. That's it. I got it right now. I understand that the source, the Lord is the source of true deliverance. God is the one delivered. And can I let us know, that's what we have to tell ourselves, and that's what we have to tell others, that is God who delivers, and we have to receive that, and others have to receive that. It is God. That's my point. The soldiers didn't do it. The chains couldn't do it. But God broke them chains. God removed those soldiers when he came in and moved. As I've been saying, impatience can kill a lot of stuff. You just have to wait on the Lord, on deliverance at his time, and God will deliver in his timing. That's what helps us, is trusting God's timing. Trusting God's timing. Second point, God delivers from enemies both seen and unseen. The enemies you see and the enemies you can't see. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers and darkness. There's stuff that we can't see. There's stuff going on that these eyes can't see. And Herod represented political power, persecution, and earthly opposition. But look, God still was able to deliver what could be seen, Herod. But delivered from all expectations of the people of the Jews as well is that God's people are never beyond God's reach. Even under hostile rulers, God is still able to deliver. Even in hard situations, God is still able to deliver. Even in sickness, God is able to deliver. And I do know that some look at me funny when I say pray for Trump, but what I'm saying is I don't care, Republican, Democrat, this is a great opportunity for us as a church to say, my God is able, in spite of, it doesn't matter who's in the White House, doesn't matter how much gas he is, and who's in the grocery stores, and the price of this and the price of that. My God kept me when the grocery bill was low, and now that it's high, he's going to keep me. I'm not even going to give who's in the White House any credit, because all the credit belongs to God. This is God's show up time. So I ain't going to change my menu. I'm going to go ahead and get what I've always got.
I ain't gonna stop filling up my gas. I filled it up when it was $15, $26, $2, $3, whatever it is. You know what I'm gonna do? The same thing. I'm gonna push that button, put in my little code, and I'm gonna fill up that gas just like I did when everything was the way I wanted. Why? Because my God is able. Yes, I'm going to pray for my president. Yes, I'm going to pray for the White House. But I'm not going to let anybody in office, I don't care who it is, distract me from knowing who my God is. Still going on vacation. Still going to buy them shoes I want. Still going to do what I was doing before. Why? Because my God will deliver. No politician gonna stop you from doing what you need to do. Pay your tithes and your offering. Trust God and do your thing. Y'all, excuse me, because I get happy here is because God will bless you in the things that you can see, but He'll also bless you in the things you can't see. God will help us with seeing enemies. God has intervened directly to shield His people from visible dangers. Stuff you can see, He can deliver. Remember in Exodus chapter 14, God parted the Red Sea to save Israel from the Egyptian army. They could see the Egyptian army. There was the sea in front of them that had separated, and they were walking on dry land, but they could look back and hear and see what was behind them. Did God deliver? Yes, He did. And the same God that delivered at the Red Sea can deliver you right now. You better go on in there and fill up that gas and go on in there and get that Susie Q like you always have. God is able. I done moved up in here. Daniel chapter 6, verse 22. Remember, there were some lions' mouths. They wanted lunch. There was a Daniel in a lion's den, and them lions was hungry and wanted lunch. But didn't God lock them lions' jaws? Protecting Daniel in Daniel 6, the same God that locked the lion's jaws will lock depression, will lock worry, will lock poverty, will deliver you in the midst of it all. You go ahead and get up anyhow. Doesn't matter what you hear on the news. Doesn't matter how things are affected. God helps you then, He's going to help you now. I know I'm in the house. 2 Chronicles about seeing enemies and stuff to see is that Daniel, Daniel chapter 6, Daniel could see the lions and knew where he was in the den of lions. But then when morning came, he was able to say, "Here I am." 2 Chronicles, somebody going to let that sit there. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You look in there, God reassured King Jehoshaphat that the battle was not his. Yeah. But the battle was God's. That God will fight on his behalf. And he was able to see it. So God will help you with your seen enemies. In the text, Herod is a seen enemy. And Peter acknowledges, God has delivered me and helped me from my seen. But there's also some unseen enemies. There's some spiritual warfare. Many dangers operate in the unseen realm. Have you ever just had a bad day and don't know why it's bad? Everything looked good, but there's just something that don't feel right. That means Satan is moving. But can I tell you, God is moving too. Don't you let what you consider an ill feeling or a bad day mess up your joy. Ephesians 6:12 says our struggle is against spiritual forces of evil and heavenly realms. That's the struggle, but who died for the struggle? Jesus died for the struggle, that we can have that resurrection power working in our lives. 2 Thessalonians, you look at that chapter 3, it says the Lord is faithful and will protect us from Satan. He's able, church. He's able. I'm reminded of Psalm 34, when David sought the Lord and was delivered from all of his fears. What I'm saying is God is helping us with the seen stuff as well as the unseen stuff. God delivers us from enemies, both seen and unseen. Yeah, sometimes it just feels a little bit better when you can see who done stabbed you in the back.
But there's some stuff. There's some stuff that God is able to do. You have to trust. Trust God. Last thing, then we're going to head on out of here. The last thing from this verse is deliverance demands personal recognition and a faithful response. This is why I'm on this about discipleship, because there in Luke 9, true discipleship, you can see, is that you got to forsake all. And when God has truly delivered you, then that means there's personal recognition and then there's a faithful response. Let's not tell half the story. Let's tell all the story. That when you're going to be with God and you're going to commit to God, it's not part-time. It's all the time. You're not off work when challenges come. You're not off your job and your assignment to have faith when the rain pours. You are 24/7 with the Lord. If you're truly being delivered, then it demands a personal recognition and a faithful response to deliverance of God. Peter was calm to himself. Remember when the prodigal son was out there doing what he was doing? Eating with pigs and thinking about this and that, and learned how much easier and better it was to be at home than to be out there. And he came home. The Bible said he went home after he come to himself. Say he came to himself. Some of us up in here need to come to ourselves. Ain't just to you. Ain't just the middle age and the other age. That some of us need to be honest with ourselves. We need to come to ourselves. Deliverance, Acts 12:11. Deliverance was so astounding that Peter here in this text first had to realize what God had done. He had realized. Peter was come to himself. Then he said, when he come to himself, when he came to recognition, he did say, now I know. And I'm going to paraphrase it. Now I know who did it and how he did it. Yeah, I'm going to give you about 7 seconds. Anybody just look at what God has done in your life? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you know who did it? God did it. Look at some stuff just yesterday. Look at some stuff last week. Look at some stuff last month. Look at some stuff last year. Didn't he do it? Yes. Who did it? God did it. You better come to yourself and say thank you. You better come to yourself and praise him. You better come to yourself and say, God, I give you the glory for what you have done. God, I give you my life. I give you my... You better come to yourself and recognize who did it. Who did it? The Lord did it. Peter said he did it through an angel. God sent an angel around us, around him. There was a spiritual awakening. And after you recognize, there's something that follows. God intervenes and clears us up for reflection. If you've been delivered, you ought to say and show some sign that you've been delivered. And if you've been delivered, then you ought to recognize that you've been delivered. He said, now I know of surety. Faith moves uncertainty to confident acknowledgement of God's work. And there's another thing. You have to go through some things to see how awesome God is. Nobody knows really the importance of a life preserver until you've been drowning and somebody throw one to you. I know that God sent Jesus to be your life preserver. I know that God sent Jesus to be my life preserver. But faith moves from uncertainty to confidence and to a confident acknowledgement of God's work after we've been through something. Peter was there on left and right side. He had soldiers. He was tied down to chains. But God stood him up, came on in where he was locked up, and removed him. And God allowed Peter to look at everything and say, I know it was the Lord who did this. Now I know of surety. There's without a doubt who delivered me from this. And how the believer should respond when you know that God has delivered. It's just that simple. Give thanks. Give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good. How should you respond when God has delivered you from alcohol? Say thank you. God has delivered you from drugs, say thank you. God delivered you from a reprobate mind, say thank you. God delivered you from poverty, say thank you. God has delivered you from brokenness, say thank you. God has delivered you from a broken heart, say thank you. God has delivered you from some bad friends, say thank you. And if you don't have anything else in your list has run out, say thank you anyhow. Is there anybody in here today that has a thank you anyhow? You ought to just praise him and say thank you anyhow. If you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it for myself right now. Thank you anyhow. Thank you anyhow. Anybody over here got a thank you anyhow? You ought to say it. Say thank you, Lord. I've had some good days. I've had some bad days. I've had some hills to climb. But thank you. Thank you anyhow. Been in the hospital too much. Thank you anyhow. Been in some depression. Thank you anyhow. Look at who did it, because you still give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And don't sugarcoat it. You ought to open up your big mouth and tell others plainly what the Lord has done for you. Open up your big mouth and say, God has opened up the windows of heaven and poured out many blessings. They say, what blessings? Let me show you one. Breathe in, that's a blessing. Breathe out, that's a blessing. Shake your pulse, that's a blessing. Let everything that have breath pray. Praise. Praise the Lord. The Lord is the source for true deliverance. And the Lord, God delivers from enemies seen and unseen. And God deliverance demands for us to have personal recognition to say, God, you did it, and do it immediately. Don't you wait. Say, God, you did it. You protected me. You brought me out. And you ought to have a faithful response to what God has done. Can I ask you a question? Has God been good to you? Has the Lord been good to you? Then why not serve him? Has the Lord been good to you? Then why not allow his Holy Spirit to clean up your life? Has God been good to you? Why not allow him to transform your mind? Has God been good to you? Why not let him order your steps? Has God been good to you? So as I close today, Acts 12:11 reminds us that God is not absent in our lowest points and in our darkest hours. God is there. When the night is long, God is there. When the chains are heavy, God is there. When the way seems shut, God is there. The Lord still can deliver. Peter's testimony becomes our comfort. What is our comfort? That the Lord sees. The Lord sends, and the Lord saves. You can find comfort as you see this, that Peter was there and the Lord saw him. Went where he was in prison and unlocked the chains. And he said, the angel, the Lord saved. And the Lord saved, because Peter even said, you saved me from the hand of Herod. If you are in a prison of fear, you're having some trials and tribulations, guilt, affliction, remember this verse. Now I know of surely that the Lord has sent his angel and have delivered me. You can say that. Acts 12:11. Read this in your meditation. And you can say this. Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and have delivered me. God has moved in your life. Recognize his movement and who he is and how he's kept you. And sometimes we have to just go through some stuff so we will know that we know that we know that it is God who did it. You sent all the emails. You turned in all the resumes. You did everything you were supposed to do and it still didn't move. But when you got down on bended knee and started trusting and praying, then things started to move and started to happen. Then you say, I know. I know. I know that I know that I know that I know that surely the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me. Is there one of my brothers? Is there one of my sister? On today, give your life to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. Jesus Christ is our Savior. The Bible lets us know, Gospel of John, the incarnation, that he was divine. Jesus was a divine and flesh at the same time. He came for the atonement of our sins. He died for you and for me. He was crucified on Calvary's cross in our stead. We should be dead, never to live again, but because of God's grace, who is Jesus, we can live again. If you accept that he was crucified and that he died and he was placed in a tomb because he was dead, but because of the resurrection power, he got up. And that same power that got Jesus up is the same power that can work in your life if you receive it and transform you into a disciple of Jesus Christ. Is there one? Will we please know today? Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? Give your life to Jesus. There one, do not have a church home. You would like to make this your church home. Is there one? My brother, is there one, my sister, on today? Is there one? Come, give your life to Jesus. Is there one? Is there one, my brother, is there one, my sister? If our church home and you would like to come and connect with this fellowship, is there one, my brother, is there one, my sister? Is there one? Accept Jesus Christ your Lord, Savior. You come as a candidate of baptism. Come, Christian experience. You come by letter. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? Amen. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for communion. Is there anyone who needs to be served? Amen. Can you raise those hands high so they can see? Amen. First Corinthians chapter 11 says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And we had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come right now presenting ourselves, recognizing that we are broken, that we are vessels of sin, that without you we cannot be right. So Lord, we think of Calvary, we think of the sacrifice of Jesus, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And as we look at that, Lord, of you sending us Jesus, we look at ourselves and we say, Lord, we do need you. Our thoughts, our deeds need you to lead us and guide us for righteousness' sake. So, Lord, as we commune together, as we fellowship as a body of believers, let us remember the cross, remember the grave, and remember the resurrection power. And that same resurrection power that got Jesus up from the dead is the same power that helps us with our shortcomings, overcome our sin, and we may be presented to you as faithful servants through our belief and faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you.